Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Since the COVID-19 virus started, most of us wondered how many more innocent people were going to be prescribed a benzodiazepine. An article came out recently online that we saw stating that anti-anxiety drugs have risen 34% since this pandemic. Today, we're going to hear from one of these innocent patients who was prescribed a benzodiazepine during the pandemic, and his story will resonate with most of us. Had he been informed first, he would not have taken his medication. Please share this podcast with people and stay tuned for the post show. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I want to tell everybody about our little divine intervention, how we got to talk yesterday, and you had ordered two of the books off of benzobookreview.com, and because of an error, I had to call you because it wouldn't go through, and in our talking, you had said because of the COVID virus, you were prescribed a benzo. And, you know, we knew that an article had come out about the 34% more people are going to be prescribed anti-anxiety drugs. And here you are, because when people order, I don't know whether it's them on it, a family member, if they're a health practitioner. And so I said, would you do the interview? And you said, yes. So what I would like is, can you tell us a little bit about you prior to, you know, when the pandemic happened and everybody got locked down? Tell us who you were and what your life was like.
Sure, I'd love to. So I'm a 50-year-old fit guy, happily married, 25 years. We've been together for 34 with two kids, a daughter 16, son 20. And since my 20s, I've been into running, heavy lifting at the gym, good nutrition. We live on a 30-acre horse farm. I've worked at the same company in IT for 33 years, and I love my job. I film weddings on the weekends. I've been doing that for 30 years. I've coached baseball for 12 years, and I've never had an anxiety attack ever. And I always slept like a rock and never had sleep issues. I've never smoked or did any drugs. Just your normal social beer drinker, and I certainly didn't drink every day. And, you know, I'm very happy, and I live the American dream. Now, when my son was 12 in 2012, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I was devastated, but was proactive and handled it well. You know, and that was a tough time in my period, in my life. That was a tough period in my life, and I handled it well. I had no anxiety. I just dealt with the issue. So if anything could have broke me, it could have been that.
Right.
And I went to my yearly physicals with the same doctor for, I believe, about 15 years I've had him for. And every time I went there, my numbers were always good, never on any medication, and he always said I was fit and healthy. And I remember when I turned 50, he said, you're actually a very young 50. Mm-hmm. And, so things have been good. Now, fast forward to July 2018, my father passes away. And then in March 2019, my mother passes away. And then August 2019, my brother passes away. So in 13 months, I lost my father, my mother, my brother. And outside of the normal grieving process, I handled it well.
And no doctor, your doctor at no point even offered you a benzo.
Oh God, I didn't even call a doctor. I had no reason to call a doctor.
Right.
So that was up until last August. So now fast forward to March 16th, 2020, this is when all the pandemic hit.
Right.
So I went to work. This was a Monday, March 16th. I went to work. I remember the date. I went to work. And an important gentleman I worked with for 30 years retired. And I knew he was retiring because we had parties and everything. But he left at 11 a.m. that day. And then at 1 o'clock, we get word my boss passed away. But that wasn't unexpected either. He was on hospice and he battled cancer for years.
Right.
And then at 3 p.m., they tell us to work from home indefinitely. So that kind of threw my whole world.
Right.
It didn't hit me until I was home.
Right.
And then in the meantime, my wife works at a surgical center and they were forced to close. So she goes to New York to work on the front lines with the COVID patients. And, you know, I was actually proud of her. I didn't have any anxiety about that whatsoever. I was proud of her. So the first 2 weeks were okay working from home, but I had three times the workload with no backup and support and a lot of stress. So for 33 years, so this is what I think drove me to anxiety, this part that I'm going to say right now. So for 33 years, I had a routine getting up, driving my kids to school, not for 33 years, but, you know,
yeah.
And preparing my food for the day and getting stuck in traffic, going into downtown Hartford, you know. So then I get into downtown Hartford, I park, I get coffee, I talk with people, I go to the bank, I go to the post office, I run at noon, I go to meetings, I hit the gym after work. And that all ended on March 17th. It was just a routine. You do a routine your whole life and boom, yeah. It's gone. Right. And right. You don't even realize that it's gone. So the first week of April, so the first 2 weeks at home, it's kind of fun in a way. The kids were home and everything, but I was just waking up in the morning at 7 o'clock. And then next thing I know, it's 7 o'clock and I'm still in front of the computer, just out of my mind, busy with work. And I haven't taken a shower or gotten dressed yet. And that went on for 2 weeks. And so the first week of April, I woke up and I had a shooting pain in the left side of my face. And it happened 2 nights in a row. And then I noticed my blood pressure was high and I couldn't get it down. I always can get my blood pressure down. So I called my doctor and he prescribed me blood pressure pills. Of course, I couldn't go in and see him because of the COVID.
Right.
And a few days later, my blood pressure was still high. And I was not feeling good at all. And I thought I thought I was having a stroke or something because my blood pressure level was still elevated. And I went to the emergency room. They ran all sorts of tests. There was nothing wrong. So I leave and I actually felt good when I left. And I just wish, and this is the mistake I made. So on the way home, I called my doctor and left him a voicemail saying, maybe I need something temporarily for anxiety. And in 20 minutes, I got a text from my pharmacy saying that my prescription was ready.
So with, no conversation. With
no him. Conversation. So without ever talking to my doctor directly, I got 61 milligram pills of lorazepam, Ativan, to take 2 times a day. I picked this up. And I picked this up through the drive-thru. So the pharmacist didn't even give me a warning because I hear pharmacists, you know, kind of take you to the side and tell you the dangers of these drugs. So I missed all the checks and balances. So I had no clue what I was about to take. So on April 8th, this is when the nightmare began. I took my first 1 milligram dose and then took two pills for a few days and then just one at night. And then I did a half a pill the last few days. And at the end of the at the end of 14 days, I quit cold turkey because I was starting to learn about these the dangers of this.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
So when you first took it, how did you feel?
I felt great.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and I'm like, wow, this is great. Yeah, yeah. So so 2 days of feeling great is now turning into months of hell.
Right. So
yeah.
But what happened? So you all of a sudden started to get yourself off and then you decided to quit. But what happened from day one to day 14? Did you start to all of a sudden feel not so good?
Well,
or you started to read up on it.
Well, a little bit of both, because I started having trouble sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whoa, I was sleeping like a baby before, but I never had trouble sleeping ever before.
Right.
You know, once in a while, when I was sick or whatever, I'd take some NyQuil and I'd be knocked out cold. But this wasn't that. This was different. So I started reading up on it and then I found out the dangers of it. So I'm figuring 14 days, that's not too bad. And I didn't take the two pills every single day. I kind of did a little quick taper.
Mm-hmm.
So, where I made my second mistake was, I was very strong at that point, but I didn't fully understand the symptoms and then mm-hmm. went to a nature, because I'm always searching. And I didn't understand the symptoms. So I went to a naturopath and she started me on a bunch of supplements and vitamins. And I was still running every day too and relatively feeling okay during the day, but the nighttime was not good. I still couldn't sleep. And I also tried Benadryl and Unisom. So I'm not sleeping that.
Yeah.
So little good. Did I know at the time yeah. that was ramping me up more,
yeah.
all the supplements, all that. I did not know that. Had I just stayed active with a clean diet, I really believe I'd be fine today. I think I could have beat it. I think right. I could have beat that, but I didn't. I was ramping my system up more. I was just searching and searching and searching. So after 3 weeks of this, my insomnia was so bad, I went back to my doctor and I told him I was having withdrawal symptoms from the Ativan. Little did I know at the time that, that all the vitamins and supplements was ramping me up more. Had I just stayed active with a clean diet, I really believe I'd be fine today. So after 3 weeks of this, of course, I'm out of my mind now. After 3 weeks of this, my insomnia was so bad that I went to my doctor and told him I was having withdrawal symptoms. And he said I was nowhere near on this long enough to have any withdrawal symptoms. He said,
which isn't true.
Correct. Yes. And he said, my problem is anxiety. And he prescribed me Paxil. And then I said, well, I'm not depressed. He says, well, we treat anxiety and depression the same way. Yeah, I was just so skeptical. Yeah.
Drug for a drug.
And I feel like I'm going from bad to worse. So he prescribed it to me, and it actually took me 5 days before I took a pill, but I did. Then I took it. He wanted to do 10 milligrams for the first week and then double it after that. And I think go up after that. And he says, oh, it's going to take 4 weeks to kick in. So I took it. So I finally took it. It was on a Sunday. And I had a bad reaction the first day, but I took it again the second day and it was even worse. You know, I almost had suicidal thoughts. So I stopped after 2 days. I'm like, there's no way I'm taking this. So I called my doctor and he referred me to a psychiatrist. Of course, because of COVID, everything's closed. You can't actually see anybody. It's a phone conversation. So it took me a week for somebody to get a hold of me. So I waited a week. And then I had a 30-minute phone conversation with this person, this psychiatrist, and she over the phone said I was depressed. Well, you wonder why, after the hell I just been through.
Right.
And so she prescribed me trazodone.
Trazodone
for sleep for my insomnia. And then she said take that at night, and then Effexor take in the morning. So she prescribed me two antidepressants in one shot without even seeing me. And I debated. I'm like, I just can't. But I was just so desperate. So I said, okay, I'll take a half a trazodone, which was 20. It was a 50 milligram pill, so I cut it in half. And that night, I had the worst night of my life. It was absolutely the worst night I ever had in my life. And then when I woke up the next morning, I never took the Effexor and threw everything out. But I was still suffering, and I was still on all my supplements at this point. So things weren't getting any better, but I knew I couldn't be on any of those antidepressants. I knew it was just going from bad to worse. I was thinking the supplements were helping me, but they weren't.
Right.
So I got desperate. So we're probably 3 weeks out now. 3 weeks out, maybe 4 weeks out, and I got desperate, and I took an Ativan at night, and I've been kind of taking it every night now. But after a few nights back on the Ativan, my sister recommended a DO doctor, a doctor of osteopathic medicine.
Yep.
They treat the whole body and not the symptoms.
Correct. Yep. That usually can be good, but that doesn't mean that they're always going to be perfect.
Right, right. So he tested my cortisol levels. My cortisol levels were a little bit high. I think from 10 to 22 in the morning is normal, and mine was like 23.5. But it's kind of understandable. I'm a little high considering what I've been going through.
Right.
So, so he said to me, he goes, stop the Ativan, and he prescribed me a corticosteroid, I can't pronounce the name of it.
Methylprednisone?
Correct. And then an antihistamine, which is hydroxyzine. So now I'm just getting all these drugs thrown at me. But I'm thinking to myself, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. So I never picked up those prescriptions. And I never saw him again. And then I remembered another divine intervention I think I had here. I remember this doctor I used to work, I used to coach with when I coached baseball. He's a great guy. Helped me out when my son got sick. He's just a compassionate guy. So I called him up. I reached out to him and I told him my story. And he is very familiar with the benzos and the dangers and how to taper properly. So I had a great conversation with him. That's where I am now. And he's helping me taper. Right now I'm on 0.5 milligrams once a night. And I'm also talking to a good psychologist. Okay. I'm off all the supplements. Yep. I'm eating very clean. I actually ran today. I'm surprised I could run. I'm a little bit wobbly. My balance is a little off, but of course I'm not drinking any coffee and of course no alcohol,
right.
But my blood pressure is still a little elevated. And so my new doctor put me on a blood pressure medicine, lisinopril, right. And of course I was very hesitant to take that. It took me 2 days after he prescribed it to take it, but it's not a psych drug. You know?
Right, right.
I just didn't want to ramp my system up more. But so he texted. So he texts me every day and asks me how I'm doing. And I was honest with him. I said, you know, I'm kind of scared to take the blood pressure medicine. And he said, take it. You need to take it. So I said, okay, I trust you. And I took it. And I actually felt really good today. I was surprised how good I felt after I took it. I feel right. A lot better today than I did yesterday.
Good.
So this is where I am. It's June 12th, 2020, and I really hope to beat this by the end of the summer. I just want to be drug-free by the end of the summer,
right.
And I think
right.
I can do it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, because, again, we in the benzo community, we've all been worried about the people, these 34% that are being prescribed the anti-anxiety meds, and thank God you found out now, and it is...
Yes.
And you didn't get stuck on an antidepressant and then maybe an antipsychotic and God knows what else they'd prescribe. And then next thing you know, it's years down the road. You're no longer working. I mean, this is the cycle that people go through. So it really is, I mean, it's awful what happened to you, but I'm so glad that you caught it soon enough. And you'll be off and you'll be well. I have no doubt. So if you could talk to somebody right now, what would you say to somebody considering taking a benzodiazepine?
I would say absolutely not. Stay away from it. It's the most dangerous, evil drug out there.
Again, you felt good. You know, I always say to people, you know, hey, it is going to, I always say I'm not against them. I'm for the responsible use. So maybe what that doctor could have done would say, you know what, Ken, these, you have to be very careful. I'm only going to prescribe so many. You know,
yep.
and maybe just one or two, but I'm not going to give you more than that. You're going to have to deal with your stress.
Yes. If he gave me one or two, like a one-off half the dose, I think that might have been responsible.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time...
He gave you a lot. One milligram twice a day.
Twice a day, 60 pills. I mean, I got LASIK surgery done about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and he gave me, I think it was a low dose Valium before I had the surgery done. Just one. You know,
right.
to take the anxiety away. And that's the only other time I ever took anything like that. But it was one before a surgery.
Right, right. But, you know, thank God you had the friend, the doctor, that you could call. You finally got somebody who understood. The psychiatrist didn't get it. The DO. When you went to the DO, did he even get it and just kind of, I'm shocked at what he prescribed.
Yeah, me too. So when I went to my new doctor, I told him about the steroids and the antihistamines. He says, I don't like to question any other doctors, but do not take that. That will make matters worse. At least I was smart enough at that point, because I'm like, I just don't want to introduce new drugs. And that's why I was hesitant to even introduce the blood pressure medicine today, because
right.
I'm just so sick of popping pills.
Right. Well, I mean, after what happened to you, that's unbelievable. So
right.
I think it was good that we did this. I mean, the fact that we were in touch with each other yesterday, it really was a blessing, because I have been so worried with how many more people are going to wind up in these groups. And I hope if we can get the word out with your podcast that people will say, hey, oh my gosh, I just went on. And, you know, my own cousin, I didn't realize how scared she was of the COVID virus to the point it was making her sick. And she wasn't telling me. She kept telling me she was, you know, afraid of the COVID virus, but I didn't realize physically how much it was bothering her. So at least I told her three things to get. She got all three in, and she called me. She's like, I had the best night's sleep. You know, I've calmed down. But
yeah.
She had gone to a doctor, because one time when she did go to a doctor, and mind you, here's my cousin, saw what I went through, how physically ill I was. went to a doctor who I actually knew, who actually gave her information on benzodiazepines, and my cousin went to her with a rash, and this doctor actually prescribed Ativan.
Oh my God.
And looked at my cousin and tilted her and said, well, I know you have family members that don't like these drugs, but it will help you. My cousin, you know, my cousin called me afterwards. She told me what happened. By Monday, because that was a Friday, she got a call that she had Fifth disease, because my cousin worked in the school system. So she prescribed a benzo without having any results from her tests.
Yep.
And she had Fifth disease. So this is what we're trying to stop, the quick write out of a script before they even sit down and talk to you.
Right. Now, like I was telling you yesterday, had, say, I was hammering something and I bashed my thumb and mm-hmm. I had all this pain and I go to the doctor and he says, well, I want to prescribe you OxyContin. I would say, no, I don't want to take that. I hear it's dangerous because I know right. that the word on the street is OxyContin and the opioids are dangerous and highly addictive. So I wouldn't have done that. But why isn't it for the benzos? These have been around forever.
Fighting for informed consent. Fighting. When we spoke the last time at the State House, I brought up how Ted Kennedy, 40 years ago, to the month that we were in there speaking, was doing the same thing, trying to bring awareness and to at least to stop having the prescribing of the benzos the way they were. He got nowhere, and we've been in at the State House now 3 times, and I hope to God we don't have to go in a 4th time. But trying to bring awareness. I mean, there are websites, there's articles, Google it, and you're going to see all kinds of stories. There's YouTube after YouTube of people telling their stories. And why aren't the doctors listening? And I'll say this, even doctors are winding up in our group. I don't think there's a particular, practice, like whether it's, there were 2 orthopedic doctors, a gastroenterologist. I mean, we've had chiropractors. I mean, you name it. They were blindsided. They did not know what these drugs
get
do
it.
To them.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
It's like
I feel like
secret.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a victim because I wasn't scared of the COVID virus at all. I was just, my lifestyle changed.
Everything. That was
everything
a big
changed.
Stress. Yeah.
Right. The isolation. The isolation is what got to me more than the COVID virus.
Right. And a pill isn't going to change it. It didn't change anything.
Nope.
It might have made you feel a little better the first couple of days, but now look what you're fighting as a result.
Right. And I've lost 20 pounds and all my muscles gone. Everything it's just everything that I've worked for my whole life with my body, it's gone. And, I don't feel like it's ever going to come back.
No, it will. I had a lot of muscle wasting. I went down to 97 pounds. Believe me, it will all come back. You know, you're just going to, do your new daily routine, and that's taking care of you right now. And I have no doubt you're going to be fine.
But this affects everybody. This affects my wife, my kids, everybody. Yeah. It's affecting my whole life.
It takes a family down. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
I was invited to go to a conference one time up in Maine. I didn't go. I was still very sick at the time, but I wanted to bring my family and say, when you prescribe to somebody, look behind me. This is my family. It affects everyone. I understand the your wife, your kids, luckily right now you're working from home, or you'd have a hard time going to work.
Yeah,
right
but
now,
we
I'm
may
sure.
we may open up June 16th and I'm going to go in because I think I need a sense of normalcy. And
right.
I think that'll be part of the healing process. But I signed up I was going to play in a 50 and over baseball league this summer. Of mm-hmm. course, it's been postponed because of the COVID virus, and now they're open. I'm a catcher, so I'm behind the plate, and there's no way I can play this summer. There's absolutely no way. I shoot weddings on the weekends. Thank God everything's been being canceled and postponed.
Yeah.
So my first wedding is actually the end of August, and I hope I'm well enough to shoot it.
I have no doubt you will. I'm telling you, because you've learned so much. We talked yesterday.
Yes.
You're doing everything that we tell people to do. So I have no doubt you're not in a hurry to get off. You're not going to push and go too fast. And you've got your psychologist and a doctor that's supporting
yep.
you. You've got what most people don't have,
it
and the support
me,
of your family.
Right. It took a long journey to get to where I am now with he's a psychologist, which I, mm-hmm. I didn't want a psychiatrist because they can't prescribe drugs. So with my psychologist, very good, very knowledgeable about this stuff. And then my doctor, it took me, it was a long journey to, and I'm comfortable with where I am. And
right.
I know the path I have to take, the diet, the exercise, and I seem to have to get into bed by 8 or 9 o'clock.
Good.
But my mornings are a little rough.
Well, mornings, I always say, are a little rough because after you've slept for the night in your body, what does it do at night? Naturally, it's going to detox. So most of us in the morning when you get up, there's that, like, I never had fluid even when I was pregnant, but everything seemed to be swollen and I couldn't get going until like 11. And a lot of us said it took a few hours once we're up and moving. Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, I used to spring out of bed. I used to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning because sometimes I would run twice a day. I'd run at 6 o'clock in the morning and then at noon.
Yeah.
And there's not a better feel. I know what it feels like to feel really good. And I'm just blown away the 180 I've taken in a couple months.
What a little pill can
well,
do.
I got to take it at night. Thank God I don't take it, you know, a couple times a day. So I'm just down to a half a milligram once a night.
Okay.
And, because I can deal with things during the day. If I get a little stressed out, I can deal with it. It's just the nighttime that I can't deal with.
Right.
And right. I hate taking that. I hate taking it every night.
Well, soon it'll be gone. You know, just take your time. And all right. So if there's anything else you want to add, Ken, I think this is really going to help a lot of people. Even, you know, some of the people in our Benzer group who have friends that might not have believed them. And now because of COVID, they've taken it. This is going to, I hope, help a lot of people. So I really, really want to thank you for doing this.
I appreciate you doing what you're doing. And when I get better, let me know what you want me to do to spread the word. I'm in 110%.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't want this to happen to anybody else.
That's how we all feel. That is exactly how we all feel. You don't want anyone else to get down this road that we went down.
Yes.
Well, I believe me, I'm sure you and I will be in touch. And thank you so much for doing it, Ken.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Garrett, we just finished the interview with Ken. And, you know, I think you've heard me talk around the house about, you know, with the virus, how many more people were going to get prescribed a benzodiazepine. And then yesterday, you know, with divine intervention, Ken and I talk, and he's one of the ones prescribed after, you know, the pandemic, the shutdown, the lockdown happened. And it was just, he was just devastated on the phone, had a million questions like any of us when you're finally talking to somebody else that's gone through it. I mean, what were your thoughts hearing him? He was strong and healthy.
Yeah, I think Ken is a good example of what we've been talking about the entire time, but there's no particular type of person that this affects. Ken is the opposite of what you would think of somebody who's harmed by drugs. He's never been on them before in his life. He's never taken any other drugs, doesn't drink that much. He's very much into health and fitness. It's a daily part of his life. He's never really even experienced anxiety. And had gone through a number of things that you would have thought could have pushed most normal people to take a pill and didn't do it then. And so I guess my question coming out of this, I guess I was shocked at how short a time he was on it and what a big effect it had on him. Was that surprising to you?
No. Because we've seen this over the years where I think doctors in their head think you have to be on them long term to become dependent on them. And as you know, over the years, we've had people that took them very short term. And there was some that even took one pill and took them 3 months to recover. I mean, we're all genetically different. And I think that's what we're learning over the years. When is the testing going to come? When we had our podcast with Millie Keeve, and her and I talked about how 20 years ago, her and I talked about genetic testing. It was going to become a normal part of your visit. You'd never be prescribed anything without having the testing to see if your body can metabolize a certain drug. But Ken is, you know, when we're not on the podcast, you can tell he's just still devastated by what happened to him, you know, with questions. It's, am I going to get better? I mean, he knows now, you know, he's doing everything right. And he'll get there in another month or so.
So even with the legislation that we've proposed, you know, limiting the amount that you could have, it probably would not have helped Ken, right?
It, you know,
just because of how short it was, he could have been given a 2-week dose and he still would have been experiencing side effects from it.
True. And plus the doctor gave him 1 milligram, couldn't even start him off at 0.5 milligram and to say take as needed. But it was 1 milligram twice a day, boom, you know. And but in our legislation, it's no more than 10 pills. You know, it's really for situational. And I mean, if, and I know Connecticut, and I had talked to him when we were talking privately about hooking him up with somebody in Connecticut that's doing legislation. I mean, he wants to do it all. Look at him, only a short time of being harmed by these drugs, and he just wants to do it all so that nobody else goes through this. And that's how we all feel. I mean, you don't want anyone else to hurt like we hurt.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you hear him say that he's hoping that he can go back to, you know, shooting weddings, and he's hoping to be back at it by August. You know, we hope that he is too, and that come August when we put out a podcast, we can report, you know, Ken did it and he's back.
Yeah, that would be
great.
That would be nice. And I don't know whether we talked privately when we were done with the podcast about that or not, or if it was on it. Because
he shoots weddings on the weekends, and his next one is in August because of all the postponed weddings.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something that. Look, at for anybody listening, we've always said I'm not against these drugs. We're for the responsible use. Had his doctor just prescribed responsibly to him, like he said, he might have taken one or two pills, and that would have been it. And that would have saved him all this suffering. So I hope this podcast gets out there. And for all the people that are being prescribed, I hope they can find out, like Ken did, sooner than later. Because some, you know, the road they're going to go down is going to be a pill for a pill, and years are going to go by, and you know, more harm's going to come.
Yeah. So the podcast is related to COVID-19. And I think when we put out our episode in April, we talked about, you know, COVID a little bit and how it affects somebody that was taking benzos. Right. Well, now we're in three full months of quarantine. And then there's been all sorts of things added on top of it. People haven't worked now in 3 months. There's social unrest. What do you... Well, I'll just ask you to speak for yourself. How do you think you would have felt if you were going through withdrawals during this period? Would it have added to your anxiety, or would you be able to?
If I was in withdrawal, no, because I was stuck in the house. That's one of the things it did to me.
So the news wouldn't have bothered you?
The news wouldn't have bothered me, and I would have been home. But for me, when we got stuck in the house again, it just reminded me of when I was stuck in the house, because I don't like to be stuck in the house. And one of the things I noticed was, because you wouldn't let me go shopping, Dad didn't want me out of the house, I hated that feeling of being stuck. So I can't imagine somebody like Ken, who was going from life to being stuck in the house, how hard it was. Because I know when I broke my pelvis and I went from being out in the world to stuck in the house and dependent on people, it's a tough feeling. So even when I couldn't go into stores, I started to make myself just get in the car and go out and drive. I don't like that, having to be in the house anymore. I don't like what that does to me.
And we should probably explain, too, that it's not like I made you stay in the house. It's, you know,
my father
has two kinds of cancer, so he's immunocompromised. So when it first happened, and I think everybody thought it was going to blow up and everybody was going to eventually get COVID.
Right. We kept you.
We kept both of you away from the public as much as we could.
Yeah. So I hope we don't have to have too many people wind up in the groups. And Ken was a perfect example of a healthy person whose life got turned upside down. But I know that it's going to be a good story. And we will bring the end results in a few months of how he's
hopefully.
Doing.
And so it was a good podcast. And we should mention, too, so this was our second time through with Ken. We had tried it last night
after I talked to him.
And,
right.
You know, so the way that we record these episodes is through a third party site that we use to remotely do interviews. And when you hang up the phone from the interview, the file has to upload. And with Ken's, it just got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then the audio file just disappeared. Yeah. So this was round two with Ken, and it went really well.
Yeah. And so again, divine intervention. I think we got a better interview tonight. And one of the things that I didn't ask Ken that we did ask him last night is, what did he want to do with the doctor who prescribed for him, that he never even spoke to the doctor? So, you know, I kind of said to him, you know, why don't you wait until you're recovered? And, you know, we have so much information online. You know, I think he's going to go and, you know, not in anger, but go and educate that doctor. That's what this is all about. Keep educating the doctors.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Garrett, again, thank you for doing all this work.
Thank you.